don't know. It's the first time. Wave your hand. Welcome. Welcome. Yeah. A gentleman with a hat. Yeah. We're good to see you. Welcome. I haven't seen you around. It's great. And yes, so close. But Marita. Huh? Jaden. Fantastic. Welcome. Give them a hand. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Wonderful. Oh, I missed out. Michael. Good to see you, Michael. It's been a while, yeah? I've seen you last year, right? Was it last year or beginning of this year? How have you been? Good? Good. Great. Wonderful, wonderful. Because of the weather, I think there a few people are kind of, you know, not well. But last night also, suddenly, Margarita had an operation, very sudden. Was it night before? Yesterday. Oh, yes, right. Night be- now it's a Sunday, that's right. But they're doing well. Thank you for prayers. I know many people have prayed, and it was so smooth, and it went really, really well. Angela, we got to pray for Angela. Her eyesight, you know, the operation went well, but still there's going, you know, pressure is going up and down. But I have peace in my heart about the whole situation. Just keep blessing that eye. You know, things will just come through. I believe that, okay? Michael, you had a quick announcement. I'll give you a minute. Because I get tapped on the shoulder. I think it's a good program, so.
It's on.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah.
Hello? Hello? All right, don't need it.
Yeah.
I do need it.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, we've just come back from this weekend on a course call from LL. So the lady that's coming, Jill Sutherland, she works for an organisation called LL. We just came back from a weekend yesterday, and the course was about hearing from God. And amazing. Just we learned some skills that we now know that we can, how we can actually listen and God speaks to us. So just transformational information that we're getting at this course. Life transforming. More so that, you know, we're all broken, and my wife needed help, so she went down. No, we both needed help, so we both went down there and so we both went down there to get some help, and it's amazing. Just we've been doing 2 years now, and we're on our second year, and we're getting closer together. Plus, but I think the most important thing is we're getting closer to God together, and LL facilitates that. Not that Pastor Paul doesn't do a good job, but, you know.
Thanks a lot.
So they're doing a free taster. So if you're interested in learning a bit more about how to do life well with God, then there's a free taster on this, the 22nd of June, which is this coming. Anyway, I don't know where it is. 22nd of June. And it starts at 10. If you want to know more about the course, come and see me. Who else has been to LL? Put your hand up. So look around and see who's the people that have been to LL. If you want to find out more, just ask them how their experience was. They'd love to share that with you. Anyway, 22nd of June. It's a free course. Please go.
Yeah, good. Well done. Thank you. Free. Everybody likes free. We got to underline that. Yeah. All right, we've been going through a church vision series, number 7. And if you can rewind your mind back to 3 weeks ago, we talked about power that is coming upon the church. It's a promise. It will happen. But it is very, very important that we actually believe it and that we have that in radar so that the church is in preparation for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we've gone to some, you know, small bits, actually, on Elijah as a model of the last day outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In fact, incidentally, I'm going to share, was it announced that in July, month of July, Wednesday evening, I'll be expanding on a paradigm of last day ministry, and we're going to study a little bit more in depth on Elijah and John the Baptist, which I'll share a little bit, sort of a little taster, because there's so much on, and I believe God sets in the Bible certain pictures, certain examples, because that's the thing that God is going after. They are the model of the last day ministry and the voice that will come out. I am convinced that church is in a restoration process of the voice, message, and the ministry. And Elijah, the spirit and power of Elijah, represent in the life of Elijah the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist, the message of the Holy Spirit, the message of the word, but both of them are coming together in the last days. Amen? Amen. And it is important that many, many Christians, well-meaning good Christians, don't really have this paradigm, so that the preparation is not really towards it, not specific, not targeted, not intentional. And I believe it's the word, and it's very important that I believe we teach it, we believe it, and then we are positioning ourselves for it. Amen? All right, Nathan, thank you. Can you put that slide up? So we'll just... all right, next one. Thank you. Next. All right, that's our church vision statement. We've been going through, I don't know how many times, but we will read it again. How about that? By the time we are done, hopefully we can all recite it. All right. We are an end time church, house of prayer, and a bride of Christ in preparation, in intimacy, character, and power, to stand with Israel and to bring in the harvest of the nations for Jesus' glorious return. Amen. Thank you. Elijah, God speaks of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And God speaks in Malachi. He's talking about Elijah. He says, remember the law of Moses. But he says, I'm going to send Elijah in your midst. And unless Elijah does his job and turn the hearts of the father's children and the children of the father, the source and the reason for the curse in the land is not going to be resolved. Amen? And it's about men of God and women of God, but it's about people reaching certain spiritual stature, not just getting older, but spiritual stature. And there is a particular zeal of the Spirit of God that actually causes facilitates, but really give impetus for the growth to take place into the fatherhood, mature fatherhood of God. And Elijah had a tremendous ministry of power, raw power and encounter with the Spirit of God like no other prophet. There were many prophets in the days of Elijah, but the word of the Lord was on Elijah. Once Elijah uttered, except by my word, there will be no rain, no dew. Nobody in the land could change that word. Nobody could undo the word uttered by Elijah until Elijah reappeared 3.5 years later and uttered word again. There will be rain. And that's the spirit and power of Elijah. That is authority of God manifest through human vessel as God willed in the last days. And that's all going towards harvest of the souls. But Elijah had two sons. Elijah ran school of the prophets, but not all of them were sons. He only had one, that was Elisha, which we are not going to look at, but we're going to jump 900 years after Elijah, and we come across a guy named John. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah as prefiguring of the last days. Because when you look at Malachi prophecy, it's really talking about the second coming of Jesus. God's going to send his Elijah among us. It is the fullness of the Spirit in manifestation in power. But John the Baptist was sent in the spirit and power of Elijah just 6 months prior to Jesus' first coming, and then his life and message and ministry embodies the church in the last day. Ministry and the voice, a message that God wants to recover in the last days. That's you and me. Amen? When we look at, Elijah and John, it's like so far away, like they're so weird, so special, and we are just the normal Christian, not so. You know, when you actually understand biblical prophecy, and when you actually understand what God is going after in our generation, it's both very exciting and also a little bit intimidating. Yeah? How many of you, God is preparing you for a life like John the Baptist? God's Spirit will be poured out on you so that you will have a voice like Him. And you will walk with God like Elijah walked with God. Because Elijah is not an exception. He is a picture. He is a prototype of a sold out Christian and the church and the body of Christ, especially in the last days. Amen? Do you believe? Amen. Yeah? I'm not the weird one. Crying out in the wilderness. It's, you know, when you understand it, when you understand the radical nature of God's heart and His call that is upon you, you, normal you, and me, Paul, and Mia, and Eddie, and Sonia, when you understand what God is going after, what God is preparing you and me, and the last day church for, it is actually quite intimidating. But how many know we have to respond in faith and not in fear and not in disbelief? So just talk a little bit about John the Baptist. And after that, I'm going to share a little bit about the seven spirits of God. And I want to just give you a summary of a little diary of, you know, my little encounter with the Lord on the 29th of December, all night prayer. Who is praying in the 29th of December? Anyway, I had to because I'm a pastor. But I probably wouldn't if I didn't have to. That's why it's good to actually get a program and put yourself in to prayer. Because, things happen when you actually give God time and wait on the Lord. So hopefully I'll get there as well, yeah? Because I believe that it speaks of the promise of God upon you and upon me. Now, John the Baptist had an unconventional training. He wasn't raised in usual religious training system. He didn't have PhD, doctor of theology, none of that. He was brought up in the wilderness, yeah? He was born in a very prestigious family of priestly line, double priest line. Both his father and mother, Zechariah and Elizabeth, come from priest line, tracing all the way back to Aaron himself. Right? So very, and then also he was not just born. He actually had a Gabriel come and announce his birth, and then he set up, really, if you can think about his life and the privileges that he had, he's really set up for great temple ministry. He was the talk of a town. Everybody talked about what kind of guy this must be when he grows up, because angel appeared and there's a supernatural signs that surrounds his life and ministry. He would have a fantastic temple career as a priest, but God had a different idea of training him. God drove him out from the temple. In fact, Jesus talks about it. If you want to look at some refined people with a soft garment, go to temple, you will find them. They will talk well. They will be nice to you. They know how to talk to you, how to do pastoral care. But John, who was actually born into it with a silver spoon in his mouth, was driven out from that place into wilderness and trained by the Spirit of God in the wilderness to hear the voice of God. In fact, the Bible says John was hidden. Everybody say hidden. Hidden where? In the desert. Luke 1:80 says, until the day of his manifestation to Israel. God has a set time for you, set time for me, set time for the church. Many are hidden. And many begrudge hiddenness, not knowing that is what's saving your life and getting you prepared. When God hides you, he knows. It's in the grace of God. Don't, be too eager to be revealed. Reputation is a heavy yoke when you get it. He was hidden in the desert, just like Elijah. In the desert, there isn't much to do. There isn't great food. So his staple diet, now this part I don't like very much, is locust. And honey, right? He wore a camel's, usually, you know, camel's hair clothing. Probably most, you know, scholars say that it's actually turned outside in, so that the prickly part actually pricks your skin. So he was a rough man, right? He grew up, and he was from birth, he was a Nazarite. How many know what Nazarite is? The Old Testament law made a provision for normal people who are not priests. If they want to be dedicated exceptionally to God, then they could make a vow of Nazarite. Nazar, which means in Hebrew, it means separation, consecration to God. Those who are of normal stock could by their choice and volition separate themselves out to God more fully during that time of vow and separation. And during that time, they're not going to cut their hair. They don't drink wine. Things that makes you a little bit tipsy and happy and warm. I mean, they will separate themselves out. It's not sin to eat well. It's not sin to, you know, drink. Not Bible says don't get drunk with wine. You can get drunk with the Spirit of God. But he was set apart from birth. It's not sin to enjoy life, pleasurable things, but there are people, Nazarite vow, especially by their volition, because of their zeal and love for God, they give themselves and they will separate themselves out from unnecessary things in life. They will streamline their life so that they could give themselves to God fully. So that was life of John in the desert. They weren't happy with just happy life. They weren't happy with a culture that seeks pleasure, comfort in the flesh. They wanted to drive themselves, to push themselves to get near to God as possibly they could. They wanted everything that God had in the Spirit, so they will streamline their life and they will not go into pleasure-seeking life, even though pleasure is fine. So John, living in the desert, not having iPad, not having TVs, not having all these gadgets, modern-day life sickness is that we are so busy. We are bombarded with all kinds of images and pictures. There's no rest. Even though I've met, you know, people go on a holiday for a long time, come back really exhausted, and they need holiday from holiday. Did you know that normal people, you've got 70,000 thoughts bombarding you every single day. 70,000 thoughts. You need rest from that. And when you go on holiday, you take yourself with you. You take your thoughts with you until your thought life gets streamlined in the Word of God and the purpose of God consumes all the noise out. You really don't have rest. Rest comes from focus. Spiritual focus that filters out unnecessary noise, fear, sound of fear, doubt, anger, frustration. When love and the purpose of God lay hold of your heart, that's when you have rest. Amen? When you fear God, we lose fear of failure and fear of man. So that was John, Nazarite. Not the typical, Lord, forgive me, not the typical megachurch pastor type. Because I don't think he would be shaking hands at very, very much from the door. Like, you know, you probably his hair smell a little bit and he wears all these prickly clothes. And anyway, and he speaks rough probably. I mean, well, he speaks truth. He speaks, he tells spade spade. So you don't want him as a pastor, you know, as your pastor or spiritual mentor, right? He'll probably kill you. No, he won't kill you. But you cannot mess around, live in sin, and be comfortable around guys like that. Amen? So John lived in the desert all his life, where later he was put into prison where he died. You know, when your heart, when you learn to give space in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking, and learn to wait on God, so the spiritual eyes open, spiritual ears open. John was a seer. He heard the voice of God. He was a man of the Spirit. He saw the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus like a dove. And it's the voice of God says, that one, that is the one who will baptize you in fire. So he was a man of the Spirit in the wilderness. And when you look at John's understanding, it's incredible. In fact, the gospel really, he was a man ahead of his time. His understanding of Messiah, Jesus, as a Savior, Paschal Lamb, suffering Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus as a Savior, is the first one who understood it so clearly. And then he speaks about Jesus as the judge, which we, most of the church, actually struggle to understand. When you look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, it talks about the very basic foundation doctrines of Christians. They've started out not with a lot of stuff that you know, even I teach in the Bible college. It talks about the six basic foundation doctrines for every Christian: repentance from dead works, faith from dead works, faith towards God. Repentance from dead works, faith towards God. Talks about baptisms, water baptism and spirit baptism, which releases power. Laying on of hands. And then it talks about the resurrection of the dead. A lot of people are blank when I talk about the details of the resurrection of the dead. And the judgment. God never abdicated his role as judge. It's all coming. And the gospel and the cross is the only way out. Amen? Amen. And then his understanding of Jesus as a bridegroom is just mind-boggling. Because that revelation only gets completed in the revelation, the very last three chapters. And none of the apostles really understood it until when you gotta go into the New Testament. Apostle Paul talks about this. But he understood Jesus as the bridegroom, passionate bridegroom, and then he knew his position. I'm a friend of bridegroom. John never suffered from a bloated head, praise God. But he had lost his head very early, 30 years of age. Why? Because he told the king, you can't have your brother's wife. So he got really mad, cut his head off. Unafraid of truth. It was a voice in the wilderness. If you want to be the voice of God in this generation, you and I, we must lose fear of men. We've got to speak with a lot of love and compassion. But you can't bend the truth. Amen? Church will not stand. Whatever the church, I don't care how big or what denomination or whatever, church that bends the truth of the word of God will not stand. Amen? Who change? Word of God change or you and me change? Which one? We change. We change. Because what? If you allow, you want the word of God to come down on you, get smashed. Hallelujah. No hallelujah. No hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, nobody actually break the word of God, the law of God. We break ourselves upon the word of God, upon the law of God. Anyway, John was an interesting character because he lived a very radical lifestyle of prayer, meditation in the word, not like meditation, meditation in the word, and fasting as well. And then he earned this notorious title that he is a demon. He's demonized, man, because he will pray and fast. Have a very radical lifestyle of separation towards God. How many know that religious people hate fasting and praying? Religious spirit can't stand it. It's all grace, man. Why are you fasting? You're just all works. Why are you praying all works? We can't do it as works. I'm not talking about asceticism. How many heard the word asceticism? Yeah, mortifying of your flesh. The more you hit your flesh, lower your flesh, more spiritual you are. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about bringing your flesh, nature of rebel, down under control of the cross, under control of the Word of God, under the higher purpose of the Spirit. So that was John. You know, John had an unusual clarity about his life and mission. And there are three scriptures that are critical in John's life. How, you know, I was just recently invited to speak in Korean youth camp for 3 days. And I've left Korean community for last, how many years? 19 years and so on. And it's interesting, it's just like after 19 years, so Lord, whatever it is, I'll go and be your voice and so on. But this is the pastor who actually asked me, you know, very respected pastor in Korean community and churches. And he said that, you know, please, the young people need purpose and direction. Biggest problem of youth, Korean Christian youth, not the youth here. Here is fine, no problem. We all fire. Yeah, yeah. Everybody knows where we're going. But the youth, they are directionless, purposeless. First generation come, they work hard. Their purpose is to survive. To buy a house and, you know, settle down. So they work hard. They reach at least a direction. How many heard the word snowflake generation? You touch and melts. You just touch it and just melt in your fingertips. That is not what the Spirit of God is going after. As we get cocooned, we lose. When you lose purpose, man, you really lose the inner strength. Cannot stand any adversary because you don't know who you are. You don't know where you're going. Purposeless. If you're purposeless, dogs, they don't need purpose. They just need food. And one place they will sleep. Human beings, you know, human beings, you don't have purpose. You give them food, you give them clothing, you give them everything, they'll just go nuts, explode from inside. Because we are created for more. We're not dogs. We are created for more. Having stuff is not going to get you anywhere. It'll implode inside. But John had purpose from early on. Where did he get that purpose? From the Word of God. There are three scriptures that are absolutely foundational in John's life. And I'll just look at one of them. Malachi 3:1, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Isaiah 40, verse 3. I'll just look at one. And this is one that John quotes of himself, and Jesus actually spoke of John this way, as well as angel Gabriel at his birth spoke this verse, as well as his father Zechariah spoke to him at his birth. Isn't that wonderful? His life was surrounded from before conception. His father spoke to him, John, you shall go before the Lord and prepare the way of the Lord. There will be your voice. You will be called the prophet of the Most High. From early on, his father spoke that blessing. Was spoken by angel. And Jesus said, who are you after? Man in soft clothing? Oh, go to the temple. There's a voice in the wilderness. That's what you went to see. In fact, he's a prophet, more than a prophet. Because he's a voice of God on earth again. All four Gospels quotes this. And when you look at John, somebody asks, who are you? You're amazing. When you speak, everybody's just having this revelation. We understand finally what life is all about. Who are you? Are you the one? Jesus says, no, I am not. John said, no, I am not. I am a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. And when you look at Isaiah passages carefully, that highway is a highway of holiness. I won't go into it right now. That's why John had a fierce message of repentance and holiness, turning of the hearts. He never preached like, you know, just get by, just believe and you just sneak into the kingdom. No, he demanded highest. He demanded the best. He shot for the highest, not for the least, highest. That's the message of John the Baptist. That's the message of the last days church. That's the target we got to have. We got to aim highest, not lowest. How many love Oswald Chambers? I love that book. My utmost for his highest. That's a normal Christian life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Everything that is lifted high in pride, God will bring it down. Everybody who is tread down in injustice, God will bring them up. Why? "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." You know, glory of the Lord is coming. Whether we like it or not, glory of the Lord is coming. Whether church is ready or not, glory of the Lord is coming. Coming of the Lord is the coming of His glory. And prior to that, His character. He's coming with fire. Suddenly, the Lord will appear in the church, in His temple. Hallelujah. "And all flesh will see the glory of the Lord." Amen. Amen. You know, modern life is so oriented toward easy way, Broadway production. Broadway, easy, get by. Everything is towards pleasure, having good time. Everything. Pampering, flesh. That kind of mentality robs us of our crown in Christ. Amen? This is Jesus. I'm going to skip a bit. And then Jesus, a few tributes I'm going to tell you. Jesus' tribute. This is what Jesus said. "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." That's pretty good for the Lord to say. I believe it's not about the power or the gifting. Jesus is not talking about those. I believe Jesus is talking about John's heart. I think he had a bigger heart than everybody else in his generation. Bigger heart for God. So we all can, see? You may not have the biggest anointing or calling or the biggest job or biggest function, biggest role, but we can all have bigger heart for God. And this is the rest of what he said. He says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." John is a real troublemaker for the kingdom of darkness, yeah? Amen. His coming sets in motion the clash between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. How many realize that, you know, when you pray up, and you're full of God, you're on fire, you walk into a room, you walk into your workplace, suddenly all the rats come out. See, John carries such spirit, such violent, holy spirit that stirred up things around. Some people turn up, you know, stuff happen, clashes happen because what? It's the spirit, inner spirit that you carry. You walk in and suddenly this person who are suffering don't even know you very well, but they just pour out all their heartaches and pains. Yeah, is that true in your workplace? Because why? Because you carry the Spirit of God. And they're attracted to it. Their hearts are open. Never said a word, but they feel like they swear at God. They look at you and say, I'm sorry, I swore. You carry something. We carry the Spirit of God, the presence of God. Hallelujah. That was John. And I quoted this already, Jesus said. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. And this one, I love this one. John chapter 5, verse 35. It says, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. It says, John was a burning and shining lamp. Hallelujah. How many would like Jesus to say of you, Michael was a burning. He was a burning man. He was a light. He was Christmas tree. Satan is likened as Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. How many know the flies don't land on the heater that is burning? Doesn't land. It lands on something that smells. Demons. It ought to burn for God. Let's burn for God. Yeah? Let's not get by. So short life. In fact, John is a picture of a short life. Yeah, 30. Short or long. Gotta burn. That's the only way to be. John was a voice in the wilderness. And he understood he's a voice, he's not a name. I thought about this for a while. You know, most men, myself included, in the past, and by the grace of God, I don't want to do that anymore. Most men chase name all their life. Most men want to build name for themselves all their life. Are in pain for lack of it. In pain at the same time, in great pride for the little we've built. John was a voice, he understood. Voice sounds and disappears. It's not a name card. That's why I never cut my name card. When I go overseas, they give me their card. I thank you very much. I don't have a card. Just to remind myself, at least for a while. Just to remind myself, Paul, you want to be a voice. You don't want to be a name. When you are free from it, you enjoy great freedom. Every one of us are called to be a voice. Voice is about the message that carries. It's not about prestige, not influence, not reputation. It's what you carry. It's the message you carry. And the message is, part of it is what you speak, but what your life speak. What does your life speak when somebody sees you? What does it say? Oh, he was a rich man. He was a smart man. Oh, he was alpha male. He just looks like a Trump. Donald Trump walks and talks like him, in charge. God bless Donald Trump. He's an instrument of God. Amen. Most men wants to be alpha male type. And are in pain because they're not born with it. It's not about those. Because your life speaks. You know what it speaks? Your life speaks what your heart sets on. What you're going after. Your goal. What you may not have achieved, but what your life, what your heart hungers after. That's your life. That's your voice. That's what you speak very clearly. What you truly go after in your heart, in life, as a treasure. That's what you speak. And John, everything that John was and he spoke pointed to one person. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. As I said, he was a man ahead of his time. And you know how many know sometimes revelation gets you into trouble. John got real confused. He understood the role of Jesus when he comes back. When God gives revelation, sometimes we don't have the timeline. Anyway, I'm digressing. So come back, Paul, to the main message. You know, John has such power in his voice. And the power is not about what kind of action you can do when you speak or how loud. It's about the clarity. It's when you're clear here, it's clear out there. John has such clarity in his voice. He carries such power of conviction in his message. The people came all around Israel to hear him in the desert. I think it was Josephus, the historian, early historian, records that something between 750,000 to 1,000,000 Jews came to hear John preaching in Jordan, saying, "You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath to come?" How many want to pay your ticket to go and hear a message like that? And the population is not what it was now. It's like, you know, it's everybody went out to hear him. Everybody. Why? It's not bashing people. No, it's not. It's the conviction. It's the clarity. Do you know who you are? Do you have a message? Do you carry a message? Are you a message? I've been praying for years, Lord, make us a message. I've been praying for years for this. Let GI be a place of a clear message, not a name. I don't care about whether you call it GI, IG. I don't care if it's International Glory or well, whatever. In fact, I wasn't even there when the name was taken by just a group of a few people. Kishani was there, Han was there, a few people got together and prayed and called up and said, "What about Glory International?" I said, "Yep, sounds all right. Okay, let's do it." So long as it's Jesus' church. It's a Bible-based church. It's a Holy Spirit-based church. There's a voices like that that God is raising up. Amen? It's got nothing to do with our ability, our smartness, persuasiveness, but there is a ring of tone that you know is truth straight down from heaven. It's the Spirit. And John was burning man. And the voice of God went through, it shot through the spirit person of those who hear him. And we don't really hear of this kind of anointing very much these days. How many know Charles Finney? I've only read about it, and quite a few hands. Because Charles Finney was a legendary preacher, stuff made of legend, right? He preached, he carried such conviction of holiness of God. He didn't even utter a word. But people come within vicinity of his presence who get convicted of sin. And they will have need for it. They'll crumble, cry out for mercy and salvation. And whoever this historian, they say, those who were converted under Finney's ministry, most of them stayed right until the end, dedicated, had a fear of God on them. He would preach without microphone on the street corner of New York for 6 weeks, and it was recorded about 500,000 people came to the Lord, late 1800s. 500,000 people in 6 weeks. And when he moved around in preaching, the prayer groups were starting up everywhere he'd gone through. So it is with the First Great Awakening, Second Great Awakening, John Wesley. We still have Wesleyan's denomination, which is a relic of the power that they had with God. Second Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards, and so on. I mean, we have what we have nowadays. We thank God for Billy Graham and others, many others rising up. But we haven't seen this level of power and conviction, because it is to come. God is not done with the best. Amen? Best is yet to come. But it's the vessel that must burn. We still got 10 minutes. Haven't you ever wondered? I wondered for years, actually, when I first read John the Baptist, coming in power of spirit with Elijah, and I love Elijah. You know, appearing, disappearing, taken by the spirit, calling down fire, all kinds of supernatural stuff. How many we love supernatural? I do, right? And I read John the Baptist, it's like Bible actually says, John the Baptist didn't do any miracles and signs. Is this the same guy? He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. No signs, no wonders, no miracles. And I thought, maybe Bible didn't record it, but Bible actually says he didn't do any signs and wonders. Why? You know, days of Elijah, 3.5 years, drought, physical drought. Elijah spoke, drought was broken. John the Baptist, there were spiritual drought. For 400 years, God was silent. The spiritual drought was broken when John began to speak. The voice of God from the throne room of God to earth came back down and began to broadcast what God was about to do. And it had tone, it had color, it had conviction, it had power. Power to change human heart. Had power, conviction to change people from inside. Elijah represents the power of the Spirit, fullness of the power of the Spirit. John the Baptist represents fullness of the preached word of God. And two don't have to be separated. They'll be combined. But God set them forth as an example for two branch of ministry he will recover in the last days. Ministry of the power of the Spirit, ministry of the power of the Word. Word and the Spirit. That's why we have a vision. Bullet point. We believe in the power of the Word, power of the Spirit. Power of the Spirit, signs and wonders, miracles. That's the best form of advertisement ever. No one can outdo signs and wonders. Attracts people. But you know, power of the Word, you can have a lot of signs and wonders, but still not have the heart changed, not converted. Be very self-centered. It's possible. Human heart must be impacted by the Word of God. These two, I believe, are coming together. God set them forth as an example so that we can begin to believe it and pray for it. Amen. I will share with you just a little bit. 29th of December 2018. December 29th. It happens to be Friday night. And who wants to pray on 29th of December? All night prayer. As I said, I had to be there. So I was there. I was so tired. I was falling asleep. I was, you know, the big chair, sofa. Those of you who come to prayer house, you know, I'm sitting there, like sitting like this. And then this is independent. Mia said, suddenly, you said, you saw an angel of the Lord. It just, But this angel was not speaking to her. So he said, how do I get him to speak? Now, I'm doing like this. I'm completely opposite of spiritual, if you can go. And then suddenly, my mind cleared. The Lord began to speak. I suddenly just, from this to very spiritual in half a second. And should I tell this story or not? Yeah. He reminded me, the Lord reminded me, very clear conversation, inner conversation. I didn't see angel of the Lord, I just heard. So I guess the angel showed up before Mia, and then he began to talk to me instead of her. He reminded of Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And both of them contains the seven spirits of God burning before the throne of God. What is the seven spirits of God? Yeah, it's all Holy Spirit. So Nathan, you can, all the slides are so way behind, Nathan. The last one, please. Last slide, the last. Okay, we are all the way. Thank you. My son. Huh? Oh, I do, but yeah. Thank you. Let's read, yeah. And from the throne proceeding lightnings, thunderings, and voices, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Revelation 5, 6, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. What are the seven spirits of God? Isaiah 11, 1, 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What is the seven spirits? It's the Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit in manifestation, in fullness. Holy Spirit in manifestation, in fullness. And there are times in history when the Holy Spirit released the fullness of his power. Small pockets. And there are plenty of Bible verses which will take all night. I can take you, which speaks of the unprecedented release of God's power in the last generation. Jesus said all these things, he's talking about all the prophets, will be coming upon, will be fulfilled in that generation, talking about the last generation, all of it. And it's the Holy Spirit in full manifestation through human vessel, his church, his people. God speaks and creates. But God chooses to manifest his wisdom and power through human vessel in the last days to demonstrate his glory. He can just do it from earth, you know, heaven. Shake the heaven and come down and what? God, you are powerful. We are small. We all repent. But God wants to become one with us, release his power and glory through human vessel to show he has come to take residence in human heart and to show and declare to the world that I am raising up human beings redeemed by the blood of Jesus that will carry my glory because that will be the wife of the Lamb. God chose to demonstrate his power through the church, last day church. Amen. That's you and me. Are we together? Yes. Is it a little bit intimidating?
No.
Yes. Should I just close here and then those who come on Wednesday, I'll share with you. I'm going to move quick, just summarize it, all right? This is, this is something that is a conversation, little conversation. He said, you know, whenever the Spirit of God is poured out in fullness, He will eclipse the previous generation. He will break the norm and go further, and He will do something that He had never done before. So I'm going, eh? Is that even biblical? And the Lord reminded me, I can say this one, because so clear as crystal, I'm hearing phrases, He said. Mentioned about, you know, the Jesus ministry. When Elijah, He just showed me a few of those times. When Elijah came, He broke all the norms, right? Nobody moved in. Nobody even heard of transportation. Nobody heard of fire coming out of heaven. Nobody heard of that. He was breaking the norm of what normally means filled with the Spirit you prophesy. When Jesus came, He broke all the norms. Nobody ever saw demons being cast out. And then Jesus said, before He left, you will do greater works than these. Means the seven spirits of God is going to come upon you. When that happens, you are going to break what I set as a norm. And how many know that shadow ministry, there was no shadow ministry before Apostle Peter. There's no such thing. Shadow is not even substance. Jesus laid hands. He didn't, because Holy Spirit is God. His power is limitless. He just goes higher and higher. Amen? So what we've seen in the past, laying hands and people fall down, you see something new that you haven't seen before or known that it was possible. And He asked me this question, Revelation 5, verse 6. Why is the seven spirits of God sent out into all the world? Why? I've never asked that question before. To land somewhere. He's looking for a people to land. Just like that Noah's ark, when the dove, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit, was sent out. It didn't find place to land, so it came back to the sender. Second time, it landed. Holy Spirit is hovering across the earth, looking for people and place to land in fullness. And what is that place that He likes to land? It's the same place that's like where He is in heaven. Revelation 4. Verse 5, before the throne of God was the seven spirits of God, which is the lampstand. This is where, so far, everything I shared about the house of prayer and the many, many prophetic words we've received about attending to the lampstand, the prayer, worship, as a lampstand has to be there. That's why it's going to land on the church that prays, worships. God willing, I'm going to break it down because there are many forms of prayer. We often do it wrong. There are a prayer of intimacy, there are prayer of petition, prayer of intercession, and then there is prayer of warfare, and you don't live in warfare. You don't live in intercession, you're going to burn out. You don't live in petition as home because you are going to be frustrated. Where do you live? Live in intimacy. It's a ministering to the Lord. That's where you live and you move out and come back to that place. That's how prayer, house of prayer works. And I want to expand on what it means to minister to the Lord another time. But that's where the prayers and the pure incense continually rises. Holy Spirit loves praise and prayer, worship. You know, he loves word. He loves that environment of deep fellowship with God that you can cultivate on your own, but that's also, it's got to be cultivated as a church, as a group. So I challenge you, you know, if you don't really make room for prayer in your life and also corporate prayer, consider it if you want to be part of that, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, because you're not going to get it if you're not prepared. You can't heart can't take it. And there's another one that he actually mentioned. Revelation 5 and 6 talks about Jesus Christ as a Lamb of God, slain Lamb of God there. And he has the seven horns and seven eyes. What is the picture of seven horn? Omnipotent power, unlimited power of God. And what is the seven eyes? All seeing. Omnipresence and omniscience. He sees everything, knows everything. Jesus knows everything, sees everything, more everywhere, powerful. The seven spirits of God are one. But it's on the Lamb that was slain. What does that speak? It's a cross worked into our life. It's a humility. Slain Lamb. It's a character. That's why our church vision is intimacy, character, and power. And God willing, I want to talk about character, because you don't get that character. That kind of character forms in a particular way when you pursue intimacy as a first priority, and when you serve and you pursue what? Humility. And humility comes when you serve, believe me, if you haven't. All the, the fault line underneath you will explode when you serve. Because there will be small bits and pieces of injustice that will come on your way when you begin to serve. That's the place where you work humility. Because if you don't want character, if you want easy life, don't serve, come and go. Hear the word and get the milk. You want to grow and you want to work on your character, you got to be in an environment where people can annoy you. And you give the best and not appreciate it, not be praised. You get the character, and I can see when you serve what you're really going after. Are you after fame? Are you after influence? Are you after ministry? Or are you after intimacy with God and humility? If you pursue humility in ministry, in serving, in menial things faithfully for a long period of time, it's going to produce character fast. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to touch on that next week. But why don't we stand? I'm going to stop here. No music, no soft music, no soft music to soften the awkwardness.